morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio, every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. We hope you join us today for an action-packed legal seminar on the issues that are most important to you. If you've got a legal question, give us a call at 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. We're here in the studio with the usual crowd. We've got Eric Tactic Jackson.
At least most of the usual crowd.
Yes. Somebody's missing, but he'll be here shortly. And there is, of course, dressed in her hot pink, Sarah O.
Good morning.
Hello there, dear. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's been some particularly beautiful weather in the Philadelphia and Delaware Valley area this week.
It has not been kind to me and my allergies at all.
Yes. Allergy weather is upon us. I hit an Allegra daily, and it usually tamps down everything that I have.
So now I'm that person. I never used to be, but I have been taking it every day like a vitamin.
Yes. Yes. They should just put it in the water. That and some sort of statin for cholesterol.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
Just drop that right in the water in the big tank.
Well, yeah, well, water. Amongst other things that they might put in the water.
If that don't kill you, something else will. Yeah. There's a nasty accident on the Schuylkill, I guess coming westbound, and people are crazy out there, and everybody's got a little short temper. So early on a Saturday morning, so folks, be careful while you're driving. Because we're not going to have our insurance and driving accident seminar till next week. So hold off on that.
But I'm sure Manuel's hopping out the car and passing out cards.
Yes.
That would be probably illegal since he works for me and we can't solicit at the scene of an accident, nor do I encourage that. So, Manuel, get back in the car and head to the studio. 215-227-2727. If you've got a legal problem that you've been pondering and you want some help with it, then you call that number on Saturday mornings and we will do our very best to get you on the air and to answer your questions. We have a interesting circle back from an earlier show today, and we're going to be bringing on my friend Tom Klein shortly. Tom and his firm was and is handling a hoverboard litigation case, and I'll fill you in on all the details momentarily. But before we do, I just want to bring you up to date on the hair relaxer litigation that we've been doing. We are now over close to 500 calls in the last 10 weeks and 200 signed clients for the hair relaxer litigation. And if you've been living under a rock, I'll tell you what it is. If you've used hair relaxer on a regular basis, which is usually defined as 3-4 times a year for a period of at least 5 years, it has the capacity to change your hormonal system and expose you to a much higher risk of two particular cancers, uterine and endometrial cancer, or really bad fibroids that lead to the necessity for a hysterectomy. Those types of cases are being handled by my firm with other firms around the country. And we're going after the manufacturers of the hair relaxer products, not the salons, but the actual manufacturers, L'Oreal, Revlon, Clairol. These manufacturers knew or should have known the consequences of regularly using hair relaxer for their customers. And so the consequences of using this, and most, you know, there's a lot of people out there who use this product and had these problems and never knew that there was a connection. Yet the companies that sold it knew or should have known that this was a consequence of using their product and warned you about that at the very least, or changed the modified the recipe for it so that it was not causing these problems. And now they're going to have to answer for it. And if you believe that you may be a part of that population, then it is vitally important you join our campaign right now. We're in the early stages, but it is important for us to gather up your medical records. And sometimes those medical records can go back decades. It takes time to do that. And you want to be in early rather than at the 11th hour. So give us a call, 215-227-2727, and we will go through a very quick question and answer session with you over the phone. We can send the necessary documents via DocuSign. You can sign those forms on your phone or iPad, or you can come into the office, or we can FedEx them to your house, whatever the case may be, and you'll be in. And then we will do the heavy lifting of gathering all the medical records and get you ready to have your case heard. Not like a class action. You're not going to, you know, just be dumped into a mass of humanity where everybody gets a few bucks. This is a real case with litigation that will involve us in analyzing your medical condition, having expert witnesses review your treatment, your diagnosis, your medical records, and your award will be based upon the injuries you sustained. So feel free to give us a call after the show on that, 215-227-2727. And we will jump right on it. In the meantime, I think we have Mr. Klein on the line. Thomas, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, Weitzman, how are you this morning?
I am doing fantastic. I was not stuck in traffic on my way to the show, so that I'm already ahead of the game. You're probably in Paris or somewhere right now?
18th and Chestnut on my morning 10-mile walk.
There you go. You know, Tom has begun a walking program. He started this, what, more than a year ago, Tom, right?
Oh, yeah, right in the very beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, and he just walks. You know, he's like, what was that Tom Hanks character?
Oh, Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump. He's Forrest Gump.
Oh. He just on the walking tip, not the running tip.
On the walking tip. He gets out of his house and he just keeps walking. He doesn't know where he's going. He just keeps walking.
Walk, Tom, walk.
Eventually, his pants fall off. I mean, he's lost weight. He's back. He's like, he looks like he's got a body of a 12-year-old now. I mean, he just keeps on going and going and going. You're up to 10 miles. That's incredible.
Nice.
Yep. Did 10 miles. There's a great article in the New York Times, a meta-analysis of all the studies on walking. They say it's the best thing that anybody can do. It prevents aging. It helps mental acuity. Walking and sleeping, Dean, those are the keys to longevity, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Walk and sleep. Preferably not at the same time.
I guess that's when you're a doctor lawyer, you know what to do.
Yeah, well, I just got back out of from the cardiologist, and that's exactly what he said to me. Dean, you gotta start walking. So
it involves putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we have Tom on the show today because Tom has been intimately involved in the hoverboard litigation. Tom, why don't you give the audience just a quick overview of what that case was about?
Sure. A tragedy that occurred on April the 1st, 2022 at the Kaufman family home. The parents, young Abigail Kaufman and Brianna Kaufman, sisters ages 10 to 15, were on the top floor of their home in Lehigh County. The house was consumed in fire. The parents were horrified and helpless. Their bedroom was on the first floor, and the two girls perished. The question was, how could this have happened? And we now know the answer. And the Consumer Product Safety Commission also has said that they know the answer. It was a hoverboard. They went and charged the hoverboard, which had been dormant for a while. And unbeknownst to them, that was a very big fire hazard. And so this tragedy has now clearly been linked to both a whole investigation, which was extensive, along with our help and cooperation with the CPSC, that is to say the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and the hoverboards are now recalled. And it's an important consumer alert. It was just issued just days ago. The Jetson Electric 42-volt Rogue self-balancing hoverboard is now recalled, 55,000 of them, Gene. So it is a significant consumer alert. We can't bring back, tragically, the Kaufman girls. Their parents still mourn and grieve them. But we're going to see that justice prevails. We have a lawsuit filed in federal court. We are the ones with access through subpoena power and the power of discovery in the lawsuit to uncover even more prior incidents and other information. But the Consumer Product Safety Commission, if you read their recall, specifically links this recall to this tragic, terrible fire, which cost the lives of two young girls. That's the summary.
I cannot even imagine as a father. It's unfathomable to imagine your children, and you can't get to them, you can't help them, and they perish in a fire caused by a hoverboard, like something you bought for them to have a good time to play with, and that's what ends up killing your children. I just don't understand it.
Oh, it's a terrible tragedy, and it's linked back, I might add, the one missing link that I didn't say was it's linked to the lithium battery. And of course, we have hundreds of products that are every day in our homes and in our lives linked to lithium batteries, from small gadgets to large appliances.
Well, back in the day, I remember back in the day, people's cell phones would explode like while they were in their pocket. So this is not something new. I mean, we know that lithium batteries have the capacity to cause harm. How exactly does that happen?
It's an interesting thing here. They are especially dangerous when they are left dormant for a while. And by the way, of course, people need to know that. That you just can't charge a battery like this. It happens due to the combustibility of the battery. I mean, there's a longer scientific explanation, which would be given by physicists and chemists, but that's the short of it.
And so when left to discharge or remain dormant, and then you begin to charge them, that's when they're at the greatest risk of harm. Obviously, this family had no idea about that.
Well, that's right. And the investigation, Dean, involved, well, what could have caused this accident? When I met with the parents, I, of course, wanted, as a lawyer, to rule out other causes. Was there a short in a wire? Was there, are there lots of appliances in homes? There are lighting, there's wiring. But this is, through our investigative determination, without a doubt, linked to the hoverboard, and we're not alone. And there's an interesting twist here, if I might add, which I think that your listeners would want to know about. We as trial lawyers have, as you would expect, vigilantly litigated this case. It happens to be pending in the federal court in Eastern District of Pennsylvania. But also, we had significant interactions with the governmental agency responsible and capable of causing a recall. And one thing that I'm proud of is my clients, who were rigorously interviewed by the CPSC, by the lawyers in my office, Aaron Dunbar and Jack O'Neill, both former prosecutors themselves before they turned to our kind of civil practice, Dean. And they went through the rigors with the governmental agency that has the power to get these dangerous products off the shelf, this dangerous product off the shelf, and out of people's homes. People can turn them back in and should turn them back in and should get a refund. That's the message here, beyond just the garden variety lawsuit of one family versus a corporation.
Yeah, let me let folks know that if you have a Jetson electric bike hoverboard, you can call 1-800-635-4815. All week long, 10 to 6 p.m., to initiate the refund process and to return that dangerous hoverboard to Jetson Electric, 800-635-4815. If you think you might have a Jetson hoverboard, that's the number to call to get your money back and to get this thing out of your house.
More important, just briefly, I promise not to linger. More important than the money, you're protecting your children and you're protecting your family. And I might add that this is the kind of work that you and I, for now decades, have been proud to do individually and together. It's a larger mission, the work that we do as trial lawyers, to make sure that we can achieve safety, even though it happens to arise from tragedy.
Let me ask you this. Oh, and by the way, when we had our last show on this, Tom, I went home and found a hoverboard in my garage and dragged it out and threw it into the trash. So, I mean,
wow.
You know, even people who are fairly sophisticated, who have involvement in this stuff, they can be caught off guard by what appears to be an innocent product that can cause such vast destruction. So, folks, don't, you know, just make sure you check when you get home. If you have a hoverboard, look into it. Be careful. It's a dangerous product, potentially a dangerous, dangerous product. Tom, when's this case going to get tried? It's in federal court. We're expecting, you know, to move cases fairly quickly, and this has been going on now for some time.
We are now pushing at the end of the discovery process. I was actually meeting with Aaron Dunbar, one of the lawyers responsible for the discovery aspect of it, and he was talking with me just yesterday about the preparation of expert reports. So we are now in the final stages of getting towards the trial date. We're very energized by the opportunity to have a trial, to show the documents publicly, to make sure that there is accountability and make sure that there is at least a measure of compensation to the family.
All right. One last quick thing while we're on the topic of litigation and accountability. I know that your firm, I have been involved in the Roundup litigation. I know your firm has been really, you know, very, very involved in the Roundup litigation. When are we going to see a case get tried for Roundup at this point?
Great question. I have been appointed as one of the co-liaison counsel in the litigation, which is pending in Philadelphia, where hundreds of Pennsylvanians have utilized the Pennsylvania courts to sue. And I'm pleased to report to you that we are scheduled to have a trial beginning in October/November. I think the exact trial date is the first week in November, but there is a firm listing. Our law firm will be will have the first lead, what we refer to as bellwether trial. I plan to be one of the co-lead counsel in the courtroom for that case.
That's exciting. That's exciting because there's a lot of folks who have been suffering with the consequences of that product for a long time, and it's time for their cases to be heard and for the compensation to occur. Tom, I really thank you for joining us again on Court Radio. We always look forward to having you, and I'll see you soon, friend.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you, Dean.
Take care.
You'll see him tonight.
I will.
We'll all see him tonight. He'll be on the Sixers bench, Silvermane guy in black shirt, looking like Pat Riley should look this time of year.
He's, and he's going to have well-worn shoes because he's walking his 10 miles every day.
Every day, 7 days a week. I heard that coming in. 7 days a week?
Yeah.
That's 70 miles.
Yeah, he can go from here to AC, place a bet, and come back. All on foot. 215-227-2727. That's the number you need to give us a call. We're going to take a quick two-minute break, but when we come back, if you've got a legal issue, we're ready to tackle it. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
When we say winning matters most, we mean it. My Philly Lawyer just helped secure an $80 million victory for a client suffering from a defective medical product. Whether it's a motor vehicle, workplace, or medical malpractice injury, My Philly Lawyer gets results.
If you've been injured and want aggressive, thoughtful, thorough representation, call My Philly Lawyer first.
Philly's legal champions. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer. When winning matters most.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
More legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman and this is Court Radio, the place you come every Saturday morning for a little legal education and entertainment. I am joined in the studio with the usual pack of legal junkies. Manny Manuel's finally made it here.
That traffic was bad. Bad accident on the Schuylkill, folks. A lot of ticked off people, but I made it in.
Yeah. We have Eric Tactics Jackson.
Tickling
the keys. And Sarah O, the producer extraordinaire. Yeah, we'll give a whoop whoop. Okay. folks, if you've got a legal issue, we're willing to tackle it. 215-227-2727. I mentioned at the top of the hour that we are really involved at this point in the hair relaxer litigation with over 500 calls in the last 10 weeks. And 200 new clients.
Welcome back, whoop whoop.
And you know, there's a lot of tragedy in that. Yeah. My clients run the gambit from having really bad endometrial and uterine cancers, which eventually led to their death. Mm. Those who have overcome, survivors. And a lot of women with a lifelong history of fibroid tumors, didn't know why, and just every month horrific pain, bleeding, and ultimately leading to the necessity for a hysterectomy.
And suffering in silence.
Yeah, by the way, Dean, you can take the slogan, get your justice.
Get your justice. Okay. Why, it's available, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't copyright it.
Of course, you know, you've got our 15,000 listeners right now.
But you're an attorney, Dean.
It came from this show. So basically.
And I want to say to you, your poster, your billboard placement really is excellent.
Oh, thank you.
Because I'm going to tell you why. For one really good reason, traffic always gets tied up there.
Yeah,
and you have to see it.
It's an art, you know. I spend my time on I-95 and the Schuylkill, traveling around looking for the places where people stop.
Well, that's a great one.
Where the traffic
stops. You got three technically in that area because you got one underneath Grace Ferry. Good man, you can't miss them.
Yeah, well, I want to get the word out. And I want to get the word out because, you know, how many times have I gotten involved in this type of litigation and then folks I don't know. They were just sleeping or whatever. They just, you know, they just didn't want to get involved. And then by the time they wake up and realize, hey, I am involved in that, and I deserve to get my piece of the compensation, it's too late, you know. And the statute of limitations expires, you know. In this kind of litigation, it's statute of limitations is a funny thing because it's told. It, you know, if you had fibroids 20 years ago and had a hysterectomy, you know, 15 years ago, and you think, oh, well, that's way in the past, I can't be involved in that. That's not true because you did not know what the cause was for your problem. And now that I've begun to advertise and other people have begun to advertise, you're now made aware of the connection between what the problem was and you know what the cause of the problem was. And so when you now understand that the cause may be related to a product that you were taking, now the statute for that 2 years begins to run. But you know, now let's say a year and 9 months from now, because we've been advertising for 3 months, a year and 9 months from now, if you've been listening to this message, then you're going to be time barred. You know, you're not going to be able to pursue your claim because you've waited 2 years from when Dean started to talk about this until you finally did something. And folks, it takes time for us to gather up decades old medical records. This isn't, you know, something that happens overnight. And we need the medical records in order to have an expert opine that your problem was caused by this product. And so it does not behoove you to wait. The time is now. Call 215-227-2727, and then we'll begin that process. And there's no cost to you. There's no risk to you. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Whatever risk is involved for now is on us as the firm.
Ladies, Tactic, get your justice.
Get your justice.
Get your justice.
And people are listening. You know, folks are listening, and they are calling. And I'm happy to report that, you know. So we're working every day on this case amongst all of our other cases. And, you know,
what are the key things you said, though? It's not this huge mask thing. You just be a part of a big other torts and you'll just get a little triple of money. No, this is individual case.
Yeah, no, we're sensitive. I mean, you know, we're going to get Sally's medical records and and we're going to analyze those and we're going to have, you know, experts who are world-renowned experts that are going to take those medical records, review them based on a history provided by the client as to what products they used, when they used them, how often they used them. There's genetic testing that can be done on the tumor itself to determine whether it is more likely.
Man, listen.
Yeah, more likely or not to have been caused by the product. So there is genetic testing. There's science behind this. This is not just a shot in the dark.
Right. Serious science. I mean, something that happened to you ladies many decades ago. Now, because of the science, because of the technology, they can pinpoint its origin.
Yes. Yes. And so when we go into a courtroom, when that first case is tried, we're going to prove to the jury within a reasonable degree of certainty that the person's medical dilemma, malaise, problems were caused by the products they used and that the company knew or should have known that that was going to happen. Mm. And despite that knowledge, they continued to hawk their products without any warnings, without any, you know, any hesitation. They were making a profit, billions of dollars on the backs of African-American women.
The word is insidious. They knew about it.
We got a caller. Line two, Eric. The one and only. He's like the fifth wheel in our pack. He's the. It's Big Joe.
Hey, Big Joe,
Joey.
Hey, Joey.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
You know, the funny thing is, Joe, I'm driving into the studio today, and I thought to myself, I haven't heard from Joe in a while.
Hey,
I swear to you, I'm telling you. And I thought, I wonder, you know, could if something happens to Joe, will somebody in the family call us and let us know? I mean, you're like my uncle now. I mean,
I'll tell my wife if anything happens, give me a buzz.
Please. We want to, you know, we'll come down to the hospital. We'll bring some, you know, some whatever, salami.
Money, don't worry about it.
Bring money. Exactly.
Bring
some money, buddy.
All right, you got it, brother. What's going on? What's going on, Joe? What are you calling for?
Well, I've been trying to call, but you've been so busy. I wanted to ask about the when I went to school, I went to Bach Vocational School in the 60s.
Yep.
All the boys, all the guys did the process.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, is that the same as what's going on with the girls?
Well, if they had the right equipment, maybe.
Yeah, man.
Here's what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, as far as men were concerned, it would be like liver, kidney, prostate, you know, down the line, you know.
Yeah, it could be.
If they were using it, you know.
The scientists haven't made that connection. It's only with the uterus. So unless you have a uterus, you're safe, Joe.
Okay. Right now.
Well, because I remember, I mean, that stuff was burning these guys. Burning.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Manuel, you have a comb over?
Who?
The side thing?
It was fried, dyed, and laid to the side.
Laid to the side.
Right? Then that metastasized into the jerry curl. Everybody was getting curled.
No, you better not have a uterus.
Mama Joe's
on the line.
Mama Joe's wife. Ma'am, what is your name, lovely lady?
Mama Joe. Oh.
Philomena.
Oh, I like that.
Joe and Phil.
That's cool.
Joe and Phil.
Yeah.
That's
Joe.
Us, baby.
There you go.
Yeah, we're just a couple of happy guys. All right. Have a good day, all.
Bye, right. Phil.
Look what you've been hiding from us, Joe.
There you go.
Hey, it is.
That's a great name.
She's going to call you if anything happens to me.
All right. Well, nothing's going to happen to you, Joe, because, you know, only the good die young.
So we all going to be around a little time.
Hold on a minute. Wait, you're not, what's your name, are you?
What? What?
Checking out on me on the computer?
Oh, no.
All right, good.
Oh, no.
Good.
All right, Joseph, be well. We love you.
We're not Googling
you.
Love you
too, my man.
All right, be well. Oh, man. I'm so happy he called today because I really was thinking about him on my way.
Yeah.
My man.
All right, so.
Now that we got.
He always sounds like he's having a good time. Every time he calls us.
That's because he listens to court radio.
Well,
it's facts.
Well, good times to be had, like at picnics and freaknics and all types of
freaknics. What's a freaknik?
You never heard of freaknik?
No, never did.
Stop. All right.
I did not hear a freaknik.
Well, there was a thing in an HBCU back in the late 60s, early 70s. It was just a picnic for historically black colleges, right? Just a picnic.
Uh-huh.
Well, that thing grew into...
Didn't we have something up here in Belmont Plateau?
Well, that was the Greek picnic.
Greek picnic.
But that grew out of this thing.
Yes.
This was the blueprint
this,
for it.
This is before I was too young.
No, you're right around...
You're in the pocket.
Oh, okay.
So well, this thing...
He would have been at Fort Lauderdale, though. Because that's the difference.
Where the boys are.
So black spring break started for the kids who couldn't afford to go to the Fort Lauderdales and Daytona Beach
Miami,
and spring break MTV, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So this started for those. Because majority of your black colleges are right there in Atlanta. So people just had to get in their car and drive.
Okay.
You didn't have to be on a plane.
Right. Okay.
So what happened? Really grew. So the first year, it's like, yo, we got to do it again. And then the next thing you know, folks are more fraternities, sororities, and then celebrities are coming. And this thing turns into the must-be place to be every time of year for this great event. And it would just shut down a town. The economy would approve. Celebrities, concerts, you name it.
Streets closed off, alcohol, music, all the makings of a wild time.
Imagine the same thing would happen, I guess, with the bikers and the Hells Angels when they do their thing. They got their place they go. And as we said, white folks would go down to Miami Beach or Fort Lauderdale. They go. This is what black folks did. What you were talking about here in Philadelphia happened on Belmont Avenue, out in Fairmont Park, Belmont Plateau, then University of Pennsylvania, then South Street. That was the Greek picnic weekend. Well, back then, apparently, that was the video camera era. And now Hulu.
Betamax.
Yeah.
Or VHS.
Beta and VHS.
Mm-hmm. And now Hulu has a documentary coming out about those days. And it has shook the black community, a certain generation.
Why?
Why? Because there are parents now who may have to explain to their children, that really wasn't me on the hood of that car.
Why
topless.
Were they naked? Why were they twerking? Who's that man, mommy?
Who are you
on top of, mommy? Is that my dad?
Dad? Oh, their husband. Honey, you never told me about this. Oh, husband, you didn't tell me about them. And then it's all kinds of wild girls going wild on the black hand side type of thing.
I wonder if they'll, mute it, blur it.
On Hulu? Do they blur on Hulu?
But if you blur, then you're blurring the whole thing. Then what are we watching?
Yeah, what are we watching?
Because some people have already started to upload their clips from their beta to social media. So you're already starting to see some of the faces, some of the lewd activities.
Well, if it's in the public domain, I mean, I have to give a little legal issue here. If it's in the public domain, I don't think you have a right to stop it from coming out.
However, when this stuff was originally filmed and documented by folks, what do we have now didn't exist. We didn't have the internet. You couldn't upload anything. This stuff had to now be transposed to from analog to digital now. So isn't there something there?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I don't think so because, listen, when I say public domain, I'm not talking about like the broad public domain. But if you're on a public street doing some twerking, you're twerking on the street. It's not a private salon. You're not twerking in a salon. You're twerking.
There are no right to privacy issues. Okay,
you're giving the right to privacy up. You're on the street.
Well, it's not just the street. It's at hotel rooms. It's at parties. It's at clubs. It's in and indoor out. It's
but
wherever.
A lot of the video footage has been street and hotel hallways, which are still public.
Hallways are public.
Elevators, name it.
Yeah, beach,
all that stuff.
So there are a lot of I know one person.
So you
want to
get in front of this thing by kind of, disclaiming now, I guess it's what folks should start to do.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to understand.
Or do you just sit quiet? Because we're talking about the 80s, and a lot of us don't look like we looked in the 80s, and maybe nobody will notice you. Maybe you just stay quiet and don't bring attention to yourself.
Yes, your crowd will know it. Somebody's going to know it. And, And now the question is, well, can you make a profit from it?
Oh.
Can you get paid?
Girls Gone Wild?
You know, Hulu have to pay you for? And the answer is not if you're, you know, you're not if you're Billy Bob from
Well, it won't be Billy Bob. It'd be Rayshon
and Keisha. And Jamal.
Rayshon and Keisha from HBCUs are not public, you know, entities that are going to get paid if their likeness is used. If, you know, it was Michael Jackson who has an expectation of being paid for his image or his estate.
No, it could be celebrities.
Yeah, celebrities maybe. Maybe they have to get paid and their permission has to be obtained.
But not
us common folk.
Well, actually, I don't know if they actually have free reign, because if you think about, you know, all the lawsuits that Joe Francis had from Girls Gone Wild, all the lawsuits that came about, you know, with using people's images and even, you know, the images that they might have had of people that might have actually been underage.
But underage presents a whole nother
That's a great possibility with this.
With, you know, because if they were and they didn't notice or didn't even ask.
And the other issue is this is state by state, right?
Right.
So people oftentimes, when they're listening to our show, they think, well, Dean said X. Yeah, I said X with regard to Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Delaware. But that doesn't mean that if you're in Wyoming, it's going to apply to you.
Right.
Because every state has their own laws. And there aren't a whole lot of federal laws that apply to the country.
Right.
And especially, you know, with regards. Now, when you're talking about publication issues, it could be federal because then you're dealing with copyright issues, which, again, there's a whole federal registry and a federal, federal laws that apply to that.
Right.
But state laws also, especially with regard to privacy, state laws apply. And so this will be highly dependent on the laws in Georgia at that time.
Right. So, you know, they got to be careful.
Here's the other component. But there were also crimes committed. There was looting. There was crime. There was always, unfortunately, things got dark and people were looting. There was sexual assaults, things like that. If any of that is uncovered from back then now, is anybody liable? Some of those folks have gone on to bigger and better things in life. There may be some pillars, like someone said, the pillars of the community now. But back then, everybody got their freak on. What happens now?
The answer is that in all likelihood, most of the crimes that may have been filmed, the statutes of limitation will bar future prosecutions.
Okay.
But on sex crimes in particular, especially since the whole church scandal, most states have extended the statutes of limitation for decades for sex crimes. And so, you know, I can't be certain, but there may be crimes that they could still prosecute. Maybe.
Hmm.
But certainly not property crimes, you know.
Robberies, lootings, destruction, and stuff. Okay.
That will be time barred by statute of limitations.
Okay.
This occurred from 84, the first year of Freaknik, to 1999 when they closed it down. So it's a 15-year period is what we're talking about, and that's already 25 years ago.
But this particular Hulu was one particular year, right? It was 94, I believe, that they're doing this documentary for.
That was probably the peak of Freak.
Right. So, you know, everyone that was at the 94 one is sweating it.
Y'all got some splaining to do.
Yeah, they're the one that's sweating it.
215-227-2727. We're talking about legal issues that might affect you. And if you've got a legal question or problem, we're happy to help you. 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. And if your legal question involves anything having to do with insurance, next week we are doing our annual insurance episode where we're going to talk about the five biggest mistakes made by most folks on their insurance policies, their insurance choices. And so if you're a consumer of insurance, which most of us are.
By law.
You want to be involved in next week's show. That will be an action-packed show full of information to make sure that you're not wasting your money on dumb insurance policies that insurance companies make a profit on, and you end up holding the bag when the time comes to make your claim. That's next Saturday.
Yeah.
Same time, same place, right here. And Manuel's going to be, asking questions.
About insurance? Yeah, I'll be everybody's guy. I'll play the role of whatever you need me to be to ask the questions that need to be asked.
We're actually going to film next week, and so I'm going to have a camera trained on both of you.
No, wait, hold on.
Because
I know I want to scream.
Because I know that you're going to have some insurance problems, because you often do, and you have solutions, because, you know, you're the student extraordinaire. And then there's...
I'm the student extraordinaire, and there's Manuel.
You're Obi-Wan, and I'm still a Padawan. That's basically where we are right now.
215-227-2727, the number for all things legal.
We have the 100th mayor about to be elected, and do you get a sense there's a campaign?
No, I haven't seen anything on really any serious advertising going on. I know that there was a debate. I think there was one debate that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the home stretch at this point, because really the election in Philadelphia occurs at the primary stage in May, because whoever the Democrats elect in May is going to end up being the mayor of the city of Philadelphia.
Don't tell that to David O.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, I call it like I see it. When's the last time a Republican won the mayoral election in Philadelphia?
Before I was born.
Yeah. A long, long time ago. I don't know. Is there an answer to that? We can get it.
There really is. But before you say, and say, look at your Democratic cities, well, if you're that much better, Republicans, why haven't you been able to sway voters to your way of thinking? Why can't you get elected? Don't blame the Democrats. Blame yourselves. How about some better messaging? How about some better candidates? How about that?
I guess.
How about that?
I mean, how much money? And it all comes down to money, doesn't it? It really comes down to money, because
most of the time
it comes down to money, period. It comes down to money on both sides.
Well, understand what money means. Money is buying time so that you can be seen and get your message out, as we've been asking about. I just asked Dean Weissman, do you get a sense that there's a campaign? He was like, well, not really, but we know there have been tons of commercials, especially Alan Dom. My God.
I've never seen a single Alan Dom commercial, but then again, I don't really watch TV, live TV. But I stream it, and, you know, I streaming is a source of advertising. So Alan's obviously not. I've been watching the Living Dead. Night of the Living. No,
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
You're on
the Walking Dead now.
I'm 9 seasons in.
Yes.
The 11th season.
And then there are offshoots. There's just a lot of this dead stuff going on.
You know what it was? I got into the new one, The Last of Us. Have you seen
that?
Yes. I haven't seen one episode. I've just heard about it. I don't have time to get into it yet.
I never played the video game.
No, I haven't either. But
I heard that it's very faithful to the video game.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it's the video game must be good, because the series is very good.
I'm going to tell you something.
How about that episode with the two guys? It was a very loving episode, I think like episode 4 or something.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. You got to see the show.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's really a good show. No, I'm not going to do spoiler alert.
I tell you, that actor, that dude is working. He's everywhere.
Oh, Pedro Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Mandalorian as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, so you can stream.
You can stream.
You know, you can see advertising when you stream.
When you stream, right.
And I haven't seen a single Alan Dom ad, so he's wasting his money.
And that's why he hasn't moved one iota.
Well,
no, he hasn't. His numbers have not moved one iota.
So let me just say this for our listeners. Bernard Barney Samuel, okay, born in 1880, served as the mayor of Philadelphia from 1941 to 1952, he was the last Republican mayor in the city of Philadelphia. That is about 75 years ago.
Wow.
So when I say that the election's going to end in May, I got some good proof of that.
Got the data. We got receipts. We got receipts. Got the data.
Yeah. So, you know.
Good job. Good job, producer.
It's over. It's over. All right. Line one, Denise. Oh, Denise.
Good morning.
Good morning, Denise. Morning, Denise. Welcome to the show. How are you, dear?
I'm fine. I hope all is well with the panel this morning. My question is this. I work for a nonprofit agency within the city of Philadelphia who was subcontracted by the Department of Human Services. In order to perform a job at my level, you have to have a bachelor's degree. I unfortunately don't have a bachelor's degree. However, I was given a waiver to case manage cases that require a bachelor's degree by the Department of Human Services. I received the waiver in September. I did not get compensated for handling cases that require a bachelor's degree until January. Am I responsible for being compensated from September to January, even though I did obtain the waiver from DHS?
Well, that's a great question, and it will require an analysis of the contract. And if you have a contract, you know, you got the waiver. That's a form of contract. If you have documentation which establishes you being paid for the particular cases you're referencing and you weren't paid, then it's a breach of contract and you can bring a claim. It really will require us to analyze maybe emails, the waiver notice, when documents were exchanged, et cetera, et cetera. And then once that analysis occurs, if I think there was a breach of contract, then we could bring a claim for breach of contract. Question is, you know, if you're still employed there, does that mess your relationship up? Does that mean that you're then on potentially on the outs? Will it be worth your while to pursue that? That becomes a different kind of question that we can, you know, analyze together. So the bottom line, Denise, is give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. My team will be happy to spend some time with you and take a look at that and make sure that you're properly represented.
Thank you.
All right. Be well. Folks, we're going to take a quick two-minute break. We'll be right back. Callers on the line, stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
When we say winning matters most, we mean it. My Philly Lawyer just helped secure an $80 million victory for a client suffering from a defective medical product. Whether it's a motor vehicle, workplace, or medical malpractice injury, My Philly Lawyer gets results.
If you've been injured and want aggressive, thoughtful, thorough representation, call My Philly Lawyer first.
Philly's legal champions. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer. When winning matters most.
My kids here. I know Philly. And Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters. And choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company. It matters to the jury. And most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer. When winning matters most.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more? more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman. This is Court Radio, and I am joined in the studio with the usual crew. We've been tackling legal issues all morning, and we're happy to continue to do that. Sarah, you got a call?
Yes. A gentleman called, and he said that he has an open case. It has been open since 2018, and he had an attorney. And now that he is trying to contact the attorney, he cannot get in touch with him in any way. The phone number, he said, doesn't even sound real anymore. I think he said it's like a Google number or it goes someplace else.
Okay, so here's what I would advise that caller to do. Get on your computer, go to the disciplinary website, the Pennsylvania Disciplinary Board, okay? That's the site where every lawyer in Pennsylvania who's licensed here has to list their most current contact information. You go to the Pennsylvania Disciplinary Board's website, you place your lawyer's name in the field, and it'll tell you exactly his address and his telephone number. If that's the number you have, sir, then there could be a problem, in which case you may want to contact the disciplinary board and have them attempt to reach out in their nefarious ways to find the lawyer for you. Lastly, if the case is from 2018, it's got to be in suit. You go to the prothonotary's office in City Hall, give them the case number for your case, and you'll get all of the paperwork as to where the case stands at this point. And then take that to another lawyer and try to, get another attorney to be involved in the case. This happens, probably too frequently. My office gets a call at least two times a week from somebody who says, "Hey, I hired you guys." And it turns out they hired somebody else who's, copying us, the Philly lawyer or a Philly lawyer or, something like that. And they think they're hired by my Philly lawyer and they're not. And we have to let them know, you got to go find the joker who was jumping on my bandwagon before he should have. But the disciplinary board is a good resource for folks to go to if they can't find their lawyer. All right, let's talk to Connie on line three, Eric. Connie, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning. I just have a general question. It's for a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. She just lost her husband, and he didn't have a will. Mm. And I listen to your show all the time about Saul. Should she hire Saul or should she hire a lawyer? Because it's so much for her to do, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, so did you say that he passed and there's no will, right?
No will.
And they were legally married, correct?
Yes. Well, maybe almost 60 years, about 58 years.
Wow. And is there children that they had together?
Yes.
And is there any children that they had from other relationships not together?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. Well, the answer is, it depends on what kind of an estate he left. What property does he have? Is there a home that's in both their names that will need to be transferred into her name? Is there accounts that he has only in his name that she needs to get a hold of? So if there is these property issues, then most definitely she needs to contact Saul, 215-227-2727. Saul gets calls every week about folks who have passed away and need to have some help in that process. And he's really good at it, and he'd be happy to help her.
Thank you so much. I gave her the right advice because I listen to it all the time. I gave her the number. I just wanted to confirm it with you.
And I'm happy you did, Connie, because that way we got a chance to talk to you. And listen, stay on the line. I'm going to have Sarah jump back on with you, and we're going to get you a My Philly Lawyer gift pack for being such a loyal listener and giving advice to your friends to give us a call.
That sounds so good. Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate
that. Hold on, Connie.
Okay.
Well, guys, we're almost at the end of another successful hour.
Amen to that.
Yes, and I'm so happy you made it in safe and sound.
I appreciate that. Hey, listen, it could have been worse. I could be Jack DeShira.
Yes, you could be Jack DeShira. I don't know. That
a name is going to live in infamy.
I'm happy
at
with
least for
your,
15 minutes.
Your pronunciation, because I didn't know how to say it.
So, DeShira?
Yeah, I'm so happy you schooled me on that. Old man,
you're more than welcome, Junior.
we're talking about the guy who the 21-year-old who in a gaming room,
a gaming room chat room, right? Guys that play these games.
I don't even know what that is. That's how out of touch.
Teenage boys, basically. Yeah. And he was the OG at 21.
And he revealed state secrets in this gaming room.
Classified.
How did a 21-year-old who's in the fake, you know, army, the National Guard?
What? Tell them boys that now.
Okay. How does he get a hold of the top secret information?
That intranet, Dane, that intranet is something. It's massive. It's long. It's full of information. They got all kinds of firewalls and filters, and they're talented people, them kids, man, with that thing.
Wow.
They are.
Okay.
They are.
Yeah. I you know. So anyway, he's about to do a 10-year stint, and we wish him well on that.
10 years.
All right, folks, we're going to be back next week. Remember, we're doing an insurance show next week. It's going to be action-packed, fact-filled. And you're going to hear from Eric Tactics Jackson on what his insurance policy looks like. We'll be here next Saturday waiting for you. See you then.